What I want to do is I want to just quickly, and I know some of you don't believe me when I say quickly, but I'm going to be brief by my standards. I wanted to give you kind of an adult version very quickly of what the kids did this week, so you know what they're being taught when they're sent here. As Judy said, that the theme of Vacation Bible School was Wonder Junction, talking about all the wonders of Jesus. And everything that he did was a wonder because it's outside of the norm of what we know in this material, you know, world that we're limited to. And I want to start with Luke 5, 24 through 26. It says, "So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, go home." And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, "We have seen amazing things today." Jesus did wondrous things, and the people that saw him operate said, "This is a wonder." They were in awe at the things that he did. We do serve, indeed, a wonderful Jesus. I'm going to go through very quickly, and I'm going to highlight the verses that they looked at, the topics that they dealt with each day. As Judy already said and had the kids quote, they had a theme for the entire week, and that theme was Psalm 113:3, from the rising of the sun to its going down, the name of the Lord is to be praised. And that is to say, all day, every day, from the rising of the sun to its setting, we should have a relationship with Jesus. That's why we do things like put on Vacation Bible School, so that we can introduce kids and teach them about having a relationship with Jesus. Not religion, but a relationship. That's why we encourage people to be in church. That's why we encourage them to pray. It's why we encourage them to spend time in worship and fellowshipping with like believers, so that our whole lives are engaged with God. From the rising of the sun to his going down, his name is to be praised, to have that ongoing relationship with him. Day one, they talked about the wondrous birth, his wondrous birth. And the lesson focus, I'm going to give you their lesson focus for each one of these days. It was the baby king's birth was a wonder. And indeed it was. Matthew 1, in reading from 18, 20 through 23, it says, "This is how the birth of Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because she, what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will be the child, and he will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." Indeed, it's wondrous. Mary is it. She's one of one to have conceived a child from the Holy Spirit. Not from natural means, not from a husband, but from God himself. That is an amazing miracle. But it's not just that. It's that Isaiah prophesied that this would happen 700 years in advance, and then it happened. And God spoke to Mary, and he spoke to Joseph, and explained to them what was going on. And then this miracle, this wondrous event, was for the purpose of saving the world from our sins. Indeed, Jesus' birth was a wonder. Day two was the wonder of his childhood. The lesson focus was the young king's childhood was a wonder. In Luke, we read about Jesus at 12 years old. It says, "And the child grew and became strong and was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." How many would you like your 12-year-old to be filled with wisdom? How many of you would like adults that you know to be filled with some wisdom? Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" One of the songs that they sang about. Think about that. Think about yourself at 12 years old. Were you sitting around having a theological debate with biblical scholars? Think about your children at 12 years old. Were they doing those kinds of things? No, Jesus was indeed advanced. He was anointed by God, full of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God. And the people recognized this at a very young age. The this was not normal for Jewish scholars to set. They would not have set and had a debate, a discussion with a 12-year-old. That was something for adults and others who were trying to become scholarly like they were. And yet he was so amazed. They were so amazed by him. They sat and they engaged with him. And apparently this may have went on for days, because it was 3 days before Mary and Joseph noticed that he was missing. They call it child protective services on you nowadays if you didn't know where your kid was for 3 days, but that's another story. So, but to me, what I find amazing about this, wondrous about this, is that Jesus knew at 12 years old, he knew who he was. And he knew what the next 21 years of his life would be. And this is who he was as a 12-year-old, because God had anointed him for this purpose. And because of who he was, he did many wondrous things. And we move to that, to day three, the wonders of his ministry years. The lesson focus was the adult king's ministry years were a wonder. Now, in the book of Mark, by my count, Jesus records 21 different miracles that Jesus carried out. He healed, he raised the dead, he multiplied the fishes and the loaves. He walked on water. One of my favorite, though, is to kind of encapsulate this, is his calming of the storm. In Mark 4, verses 37, it says, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, and so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care that we drowned? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, Be quiet. Be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Now, what I get from this is that even creation listened to Jesus. Even creation itself obeyed Jesus. And this is why I find, of all the miracles he did, we talk about, you know, healing, raising the dead, amazing, incredible. But all of creation was under his authority. That's because Jesus was creator. Creation obeyed his word because he was creator. John 1:3 says, through him being Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Everything in creation, Jesus was a part of their creation because God spoke the world into the existence. And John 1:1 tells us that Jesus is the word. So when God was speaking the creation into existence, he was speaking Jesus. So at Jesus' word, at his authority, anything in creation, whether it be our physical health, whether it be the casting out of demons, raising dead, or calming the weather itself, calming the storm, it obeys Jesus because he is its creator, and all he has to do is speak. Day four, they talked about the wonders of his death and his resurrection. The lesson focus was the risen king's death and resurrection were a wonder. There were like no other. And that's true. No one else that we are aware of is recorded in history as ever being raised from the dead. We have people that are indeed resuscitated, but then they die. Jesus was raised from the dead, never to die again. Matthew 27, dealing with his death, it says, And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up the spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rock split. This is one of my favorites. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many people who had died were raised to life. They came out of their tombs and after Jesus' resurrection went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Did you just hear what I said? Dead people got out of their graves and went into the city. How would you like that one? So, when the centurion and those with him were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake, they were filled and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Jesus's death and all the events around it caused the people that were there crucifying him, the centurion that was in charge of the soldiers that were crucifying, carrying out the crucifixion, even they recognized this is such an amazing, wondrous event. Surely this man was, in fact, the Son of God. So his death was indeed wondrous, but also his resurrection. In Matthew 28, it says, After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were like white as snow. Suddenly Jesus came to them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped him, his feet, and worshiped him. His resurrection, Jesus was resurrected. Like I said, we have people that are resuscitated who have died and they live longer and then they die. Jesus was resurrected. Not just resuscitated, he was resurrected by an angel of God who came down and rolled away the stone of the tomb. Jesus, though, never dies again. And because he never dies, because he lives, we also can live. Ephesians 1:20 says, in fact, because once he was resurrected, 50 days later, he ascended into heaven to the right hand of God. And the great news is that in the spiritual realm, we're there with him. Ephesians 1:20 says, which he exerted in Christ in when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly realms. So Jesus didn't die again. He went to heaven and he's at the right hand of God. And Ephesians 2:6 says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. We are, through that resurrection of Jesus, seated with him in heavenly realms at the right hand of God in the Spirit. And he is there always interceding for us. So indeed, again, he's the only person that we see that is resurrected. And it's because he is the Son of God. It's a wonder indeed. And finally, on day 5, they talked about the wonder of his return. The lesson focus was the return of the King of Kings will be a wonder. Mark 13 says, and so be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And that indeed will be wondrous. And he will send his angels and gather his elect for the four winds and the earth, the ends of the heaven. So you're going to see Christ returning in the clouds, coming in glory. It's going to be something that the world will be able to evidence and witness for themselves. In John 14, it says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me so that where I am, there you also may be. So not only is he returning, he's also preparing a place for us to be with him. When he comes back, that we will go with him into a place that he's prepared for us. It says he's going to prepare a place. That place in the Greek is translated as a mansion. That's what God has prepared for us. His return is going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious if you are a believer, a child of God. It's going to be terrifying if you are not. The Bible tells us that it says that on his return, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Lord means that he's in charge. he's Lord of everything. The saying is he's Lord of everything, or he's Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. He's Lord of all. And for people that don't know him as Lord, they're going to recognize, oh, he is Lord. Their knee is going to bow. Even unbelievers, their knee will bow and their tongue will confess, indeed, he is Lord. But the problem is, it's too late for them. It's too late for them. Do it. Bow your knee now and confess Jesus is Lord while you still have a free choice to do it. Because once that freedom is taken away, it won't be good. You will recognize him as Lord, but it'll be too late to be saved. Indeed, Jesus' life is a wonder. All day, from the rising of the sun till its setting, we are to praise his name because he is a good God. He's a great God. And all the things that he did is wonders. His birth, it was like none other. His childhood, the wisdom and the anointing that was on him by God, again, one of a kind. His ministry, the miracles that he did so that all of creation would obey him, was under his authority. His death, his resurrection, again, the world has never seen. And finally, his return to redeem all of us. It is all a wonder. It's a wonder to me when I think about myself and my shortcomings and all of our failures in this world that God still loves me. I find that to be maybe the greatest wonder of all. In spite of me, God loves me. And if you're going to ask me what my favorite verse is, it's Romans 5:8 and of all the Bible, because it says this, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. He didn't wait for me to get my life straightened out. He didn't wait for me to get myself all neat and cleaned up and all those kind of things. This is what real love is. While I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. And I find that to be the greatest wonder of all.